Hey guys, Dizleif Mark here, and I want to tell you all about the official travel partner here at Chip & Company. Let our good friend Sarah at Destination to Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation. Sarah specializes in planning dream vacations for your family. She's an authorized Disney vacation planner, and she can help with every step of your magical vacation. The best thing is that her services are 100% free. Want to travel beyond Disney? Sarah has you covered there too. Want to find out more? Fill out a trip request form over at the website at Chip & Co. or email her directly at sarahsolberg@d2travel.com. Start planning that dream vacation today. Email her at sarahsolberg@d2travel.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome, foolish mortals.
Amigos, amigos down there, it is me up here.
Howdy, folks. Please keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the train and remain seated at all times.
If smaller aviators don't measure up to the height indicator on the seat, just put the belt through the loop in the center strap before buckling. That's worked well.
We know what our goals are. We know what we hope to accomplish. And believe me, it's the most exciting and challenging assignment we've ever tackled at Walt Disney Productions.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to DizLife Podcast. Thank you for being a part of our Disney Lives here on the Chip & Company Podcast Network. I am Mark Valentine, and I am one of the hosts of DizLife Podcast. You can join us here weekly as we discuss the very best of Disney parks, resorts, dining, and sometimes even beyond. And don't forget, smash that subscribe button to access more incredible content from the Chip & Company Podcast Network. And if you're craving some Disney news, head over to chipandco.com because we've got the latest headlines from across all of the Disney parks worldwide. And do us a solid this holiday season. Leave us a rating or a review on Apple, Spotify, or Podchaser, and let us know what you think of the podcast program. It would mean a lot to us as we head into the holidays. And on today's podcast, we're getting into the holiday spirit, because today we're spreading some holiday cheer by giving our favorite Disney park attractions the gifts they never knew that they needed. So picture this. If rides and attractions were people, what would they want for the holidays? We've got some creative ideas, and there's only one person that I would task with tackling this holiday conundrum, and that is none other than the co-host of United We Fan, the podcast, my bro Chacho, the one and only Brian Lee. Brian Lee, happy holidays, my friend. We've arrived. It's socially acceptable to celebrate the Christmas season. How have you begun in the Lee household?
It's been socially acceptable in the Lee household for like a full month now. So, what do you mean one of the hosts of DizLife Podcast? Yeah. You are the host of DizLife Podcast.
Yeah. So, you know, I just, I was feeling lonely today. No, man. I mean, listen, you, like we said last week, you have like really stepped up and helped me out. Super appreciative. And again, it is the, my attitude has been one of gratitude, man. It was Thanksgiving this weekend. So it's just me looking around and taking stock of all the things in my life. My father celebrated his 70th birthday. He is 70 years loved. The whole family got together. I pulled a plane, trains, and automobiles on Thanksgiving and rolled up at my side of the family's house. And they were like totally surprised. So, dude, it's just, I'm just keeping the good vibes going. You know what I mean?
Fair.
So was this it for, this was the last game for you? LSU is wrapped up until the bowl, right? And, but that's it. You're, for all intents and purposes, you're kind of done with football, right?
Well, with football, yeah. But I mean, we're in the swing of, I mean, that's the thing about LSU athletics, man. It's a 12 and a half month season.
Right. So what's on tap now? Obviously basketball, volleyball's
over, gymnastics, men's and women's basketball. And then the defending national champion baseball team starts, and it's just continue to go.
Lots
to go
and lots of merch. Plus you, yeah, man, you're never, I you can't get nailed down. You're moving. You're like, you're all over the place. So
I'm all over.
Cause you were like, you know what I would love to do in the middle of the holiday season? Execute a move. Are the kids excited for Christmas?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the move is preventing us from being able to go visit family in Florida.
Right.
So they're a little sad, but ultimately it's a good move for us. So we're excited.
Well, tell the family, come on over here, bring a pizza and help us move. So I, you know, like when you were, that you would rent a truck and you would pay your friends in pizza to help you move. So
yeah, I'm still in that part of my life.
Right. So, I mean, if you buy me some pie, I'll fly down to Louisiana for the holidays.
Done. You're going to have three whole pizzas all to yourself.
I'd help you out. Hey, man, shout out to this podcast idea today. It was brilliant. I was still shaking off the tryptophan coma. You're like, what are we doing today? I was like, you know, that is a wonderful idea. What do we do? We're in the middle of the holidays, and you're like, hey, let's give some gifts to the Magic Kingdom. And I was like, man, I really love that. So Brian kind of pitched the concept and he had me sold at, like, imagine if we gave the Matterhorn a brand new track because it sorely needs it. And I'm like, man, I'm in. So I don't know what rides or resorts or whatever,
but I'm not going to only Magic Kingdom.
Right. So, and again, the rules were like, you could go anywhere around the world. It didn't even have to be rides. It could have been shows. It could have been hotels. I am going to tip my hat a little bit. I gravitated, I don't know why, my generosity just was really gravitating towards Epcot more so than other places, just because that's my favorite park. But we don't know who's gift giving. It's like a secret Santa. But you are going to come up with some gifts that you're going to give. And it's just kind of like a really creative spin on refurbish or reimagine, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want you to take this the wrong way and be like, they're perfect as they are. Yeah, we know that. We know that. But we're just having a little fun here for the holidays. And, you know, we're trying to get to Christmas. Just a reminder, we like theme parks. Our sister podcast here on the Chip and Company Podcast Network is going to be celebrating once again the 12 days of Christmas over at their podcast. That should be starting really soon. So get ready for the holidays over at We Like Theme Parks, where every single day they bring you a brand new podcast to celebrate the lead up to Christmas Day. That's a lot of fun. We started that last year. That was one of the first things they did when they joined us, and they're bringing the tradition back. So some of the other shows might make way for them during that week of programming, but you might hear some of the personalities here showing up on We Like Theme Parks. Just saying, we did last year. Did you hear that episode where I played the Christmas trivia and they found out a fun fact about me? I don't watch Disney Christmas movies.
Yeah, I remember your shame that you felt afterward. I don't think you're ashamed of it that much anymore, though, are you?
I just want to be competitive, right?
I totally understand.
And when it comes to trivia, it's like that's the nightmare of standing up in front of the room and not knowing anything, you know? Like, that was one of my nightmares as a kid. So when I'm live on the radio and the topic is one that I am not good at, I was horrible on that show. And by the grace of Matt Yipchuk, he was like, in the spirit of the holidays, why don't we just invite Mark to play in the next round? Because this was like not, this was not a competitive round. I mean, I knew nothing, dude, nothing.
I remember listening to that going, yeah, I wouldn't know that either. So,
well, some of them were like B-roll movies, like the Beauty and the Beast Christmas whatever. It's like, nope, I don't know that.
So you're saying there's something there.
Right. So hopefully they bring me on this year and it's something celebratory and not trivia related, because I was horrendous. All right, man. So let's get into the spirit. Let's start giving gifts to the parks. Where do you want to start? So this was your concept. I'll let you get us fired off here. On the first day of Disney, Brian gave to eat. I don't know. What are we going to do? Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay. So you said my example was gifting the Matterhorn a smoother trek. So I mean, that's kind of the wavelength that I'm on. A lot of these are not super achievable, still necessary is not the right word either, but something that I would love to accomplish. So I'm going to start in the obvious of places. I am gifting Joe Rohde a Yeti that moves.
That's not possible. Yeah, that would be high on my wish list too, man. Dude, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I mean, I'm sure that Joe Rohde would love to actualize that, but at this point, it would take them removing 3/4 of that mountain, correct? To get that to...
I mean, that's what they say. Did you ever ride it when the Yeti did move?
No, I did not.
It ruled. It was amazing. I rode that attraction within like 6 months of it opening. I remember it moving, and then like it had become like a myth. Like I didn't think it ever moved. Like I thought it was like, did I just imagine that? But no, it did move. It used to. But imagine Joe Rohde's happy heart.
That was during my I am deathly afraid of roller coasters era.
That
would have never have happened ever. But like, I can appreciate for those people who remember the myth of the moving Yeti. I just never experienced it, but I do love me some Disco Yeti, and I kind of feel like it's the joke that everyone's in on. So, but I do get that. I'm sure that Joe Rohde would love to see his animatronic working.
It's not even for me. It's just for Joe Rohde. Right. Like that's the gift. I mean, I honestly don't care.
It's like the gift of the Magi. Here, Joe, here is your working Yeti. All right. So listen, let's stay on the roller coaster kick. So looking at the Magic Kingdom, I'm sure that Space Mountain peers across the horizon and sees that beautiful show building over at Epcot, and it stares at Guardians of the Galaxy. And then if the walls could hear, I'm sure that they hear plenty of guests as they're queuing up for Space Mountain say how much they love the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster and how it is the quintessential flying through space experience. And you know what, man? If Space Mountain was a person, I'm sure that it would hurt its feelings. So Space Mountain, this holiday season, I'm going to gift you a brand new LED light display, maybe a smoother track. You are a timeless classic, my friend, and it's about time to give Space Mountain the love that it deserves, to give it the upgrade for the next century. And Brian, don't you think that it deserves like a cool projection, a great track? We really shouldn't come off that thing going, man, I wish this was more like Guardians. It's an iconic ride. It's one of my favorites. And then looking over to Disneyland, now I haven't gone on the one in Paris. I haven't gone on any of the other Space Mountains around the world. I've only been to the American parks. But when you experience Space Mountain over in Disneyland, it makes you jones for that refurb over here in Florida, because you're like, wow, just with that track and that Hyperspace Mountain overlay, this ride is not just good, it's bonkers. And so that's what I want to give Walt Disney World's version of Space Mountain. I want to give it new LED lights, I want to give it a new track, and I want to make it really fun so that I can go over to Guardians and be like, you know what rides really, really good? Space Mountain.
You'd never get there. Even if you did this to Space Mountain, you would never say that to Guardians of the Galaxy.
I wouldn't. Because Guardians of the Galaxy would go, cha.
Riding Hyperspace Mountain at Disneyland completely ruined Space Mountain for me for the rest of eternity. Nothing will ever, ever be that good. Like, from a Space Mountain standpoint.
From a Space Mountain standpoint, but again, I am a gentleman of a certain age in my mid-40s, so I grew up with the original trilogy, and that's as close to a Death Star run as I'm ever going to get, man.
Like, correct.
You know what I mean? Like, that thing is bonkers good. I mean, I remember living that dream on Star Tours, but doing Hyperspace Mountain, it ruined me. It broke me forever and ever. Amen. But yeah.
We'll have those memories forever.
And ever. Okay. All right. What else? Listen, let's open up the bag of gifts. Let's keep on giving. What is our second gift to bestow upon Disney Parks here today, my friend?
You talked about Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. Let's stick right there. I am going to gift Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind a new song.
Thank you. I actually, thank you for that. That's something that we all would appreciate. Could we give it?
Wait. Are you mad about the 6-track soundtrack that it has already?
No, I just want a better Christmas overlay. And
they're not even doing the Christmas overlay this year.
No, I want.
I thought it was fine.
No, it's not fine.
I wasn't giving it a new Christmas song, though Mannheim Steamroller on Cosmic Rewind would rule.
I don't know if the beats per minute would work, but I want Wham's Last Christmas on that thing. I think that would be bonkers good. But so you want to talk about, you said how Hyperspace Mountain ruined you, right? The Halloween overlay on the Guardians Mission Breakout ruined me and made me realize what an amazing overlay could look like. Same thing with like the Jack Skellington Haunted Mansion. Disneyland just does their overlays on a whole nother level. So like I got fired up. I was like, yes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind. We're getting that overlay treatment. This thing is going to be bonkers good. They're going to maybe give us like a whole new movie, a whole new story. Man, it was the same thing. They just put like a generic Christmas song in it. And it was like, womp, womp.
So, but it was also its first year in operation. So like they're not doing anything this year, but I would say give them a little time to maybe come up with another original story or something like that.
But are they not doing something this year? Because last year people were like, just don't do it. Just,
I thought it was fine. Like, I didn't think it was that bad.
I don't know. We disagree. Maybe it was see, that's maybe not the ride's fault. Maybe it's mine, my fault. The fault lies with me because my expectations were just really high for that overlay. And it didn't meet my expectations, but who knows? I know. All I know is I'm not alone. I'm not alone in that.
No. But my song just adds to the track randomness.
Okay.
It's just seventh song. And you talk about the beats per minute, all 6 songs. The reason they are on there is because they have a very, very similar beats per minute. You know what else fits that beats per minute?
What?
Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Ooh, I would take that.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Does Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley work? I would like it if they Rickrolled us every once in a while.
Rickrolled us, that would be dope.
Wouldn't that be dope? Like if every, just, and it's rare, but every once in a while, like there was a group that just got Rickrolled. Legit.
Yeah, you get Rickrolled. Yeah, that would be amazing. I'm all for that.
And then, you know, if we could add some audio of Drax being like, I will never give you up. I would just love that. That would be amazing. All right, let's stay in Epcot. We're in Epcot. Let's stay in Epcot. Look, man, it's been since 1988, and it's about time. I'm going to give the World Showcase not one, but 2 different countries this Christmas. All right. The last ones that we got were, we got Norway and Morocco, and it's been forever since we've gotten any kind of love. I know that we get the temporary booths.
So what you could say is for the first time in forever, they're going to get new countries.
For the first time in forever, I'm giving what I'm dreaming of. Yeah, so if I had to be specific, and I want to know your 2, right? I'm going to give them Colombia for obvious reasons. And I want to see Australia, man. I feel like we need to go down under. So Colombia, because I would like to see a Encanto inspired attraction, whether it's like a walkthrough house, but get me more Encanto in the parks, get me the cuisine of Colombia. But man, I mean, I don't need IP there to like make it cool. I just feel like we're really missing Oceania, and I feel like we're missing like New Zealand, and we're missing Australia. And I would just love to go on Walkabout and get a little Australia, mate. And maybe we can get Chris Helmsworth over there since he loves doing the marketing for them. And maybe that's a way that we can get Thor. And maybe we could get like Taika Waititi to make a movie, like, you know, the theater in the round, something like that. How fun would that be?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same wavelength, like country-wise. This wasn't on my list, but I would love something like a Polynesian something or other. The fact that the Luau no longer exists over the Polynesian resort, you could potentially do some sort of Luau show.
Ooh.
And I mean, Australia kind of fits that, but if you just went like just more broad Polynesia, you could do New Zealand, you could do the Kiwis, you could do Tonga, Samoa, like stuff like that. I think that would be really fun. Incorporate all those take like the Polynesian Cultural Center in Hawaii and just do a miniature version of it in Epcot. I think that'd be neat. And then I'm with you on Columbia.
Nice. That would be really cool. And maybe we could have spam sushi all year then, because I really enjoyed that.
Would you like some peanut butter cups and your eggs?
What movie is that from? Is that 50 First Dates?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Dude, he's the best in that movie.
Hey, peanut butter cups.
When he gets the fish hook just lodged in him. That movie's so phenomenal. I have to watch that movie again. All right, yeah, so two countries, Colombia and Australia, and you want to see some Polynesian representation as well. Epcot deserves this. We deserve this. If you disagree with me, I don't know. Like, it's been since 1988. I said 98 before. 88. It's even 10 years before that. That's crazy. Crazy. All right, numero tres for you. On the third day of Disney, Brian gave to thee. That's better. That worked better.
Staying at Epcot. We're kind of overhauling Epcot, but I think it deserves it. We don't know what. What is the new show called? Luminous?
Luminous.
Luminous.
There's a lot of us.
Lumos.
Harmonious.
No, we don't want Luminous. We want My Gift. And that is World of Color.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yes, dude.
World of Color needs to make its way to the East Coast. It's the best nighttime show that Disney has, and I think that Epcot's the best place for it. I do not want to replace Fantasmic at Hollywood Studios to put World of Color in there. I just think it's better, especially if you compare to what's in California. If you did a 360-degree version like you would get at Epcot, I'm in.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to change one of mine. I was doing the same thing. So I said World of Color, but since there's absolutely nothing in Animal Kingdom, I was gifting it to Animal Kingdom because they don't have a nighttime spectacular. And since it's not technically pyrotechnics and there's no real fireworks or banging, so it's not disruptive to the animals, World of Color, in my opinion, would work in that water amphitheater.
Yeah, it would.
And it would be so cool because you have to, for the most part, unless you get a dessert party, you have to stand for World of Color. So I would have gone with Animal Kingdom, but I'm going to add another one since we both had that one, just a different location. You already gave it away. So you gave it to Epcot. So Epcot gets to keep it. Animal Kingdom doesn't get it this time around. I'm still in Epcot too. Were you? like I said, this wound up being like Epcot, you know, getting overhauled.
Like you said, it is your favorite park.
It is. Despite
all its imperfections.
It's so good. I love it so much. So I feel like we learned so much when Guardians of the Galaxy opened. And it was the first roller coaster for Epcot. And I feel like people really dug on it. And so I feel like Epcot really appreciated Guardians of the Galaxy. I feel like they would really love another roller coaster this Christmas, man. So a long time ago, you know, maybe this wasn't like 1988, the Imagineers had created a schematic and they had created some concept art for a roller coaster over in the Japanese pavilion. And it was all, you know, all the space was earmarked that it was going to be another mountain style roller coaster. And it was going to be a Mount Fuji coaster, and then it got shut down because of some of the sponsorships, and it was supposed to be sponsored by like Fuji, and they were worried that, you know, their deal with Kodak was going to be jeopardized. So the whole thing wound up getting scuttled. Well, listen, we are in a new century, and these companies have like kind of receded. So I am going to put it back on the table. Japan, you're going to get your Mount Fuji coaster this Christmas because I feel like you deserve it. And as a bonus gift, Epcot, because again, one of my gifts kind of, we talked about it already. Dude, I'm also going to give Epcot one other thing, and I'm going to make sure that the Wonders of Life Pavilion gets a second life. I'm going to give them back the Play Pavilion. So it's a twofer this holiday season. They're getting two rides that they were promised or two attractions they were promised that were canceled. Now they get both of them again. Dude, what is going on with the Wonders of Life Pavilion? It's an entire show building that is mothballed.
I just want Body Wars to come back. Is that too much to ask?
Did you like Body Wars? Hot take. I liked it. I loved it. Going after that Splinter.
I love Body Wars. Are you kidding me?
Dude, it was me living. And here's the thing. I'm old enough to remember Innerspace. A lot of people were like, yeah, but it's just Innerspace. Who cares? I didn't even care that it was the same concept. It was fun. It was cool when you got sucked into the heart and like the circulatory system. People got, you want to talk about people getting sick on a ride. People got really sick. Like Bondo doesn't do screens. He gets a little barfy on like Star Tours. Yo, that would have been a hurl for him.
Big time. Yeah, no, thank you. Who owns the IP to Magic School Bus, I wonder?
I don't know. Master of Google, could you figure that out for us? That would be cool.
Yeah, give me a second. Body, I don't know. Like the Disney Play Pavilion sounded like it had some promising features to it, but I assume that it probably just got way too expensive with very little ROI on the whole thing.
See, but I imagine the Play Pavilion very much like that one scene from Ralph Breaks the Internet, where you have all of the Disney IP just kind of like cross-mogenating in this place that's just like pure Disney. And if you've ever seen some of the location, like what's the place that's on Sunset in Disneyland where they have the giant screens and they have the oversized art and like the animation stuff is in there where you can learn how animation happens. They had Beast's Library in there for a while. Do something like that. Get like huge over the top screens, make it something that's a huge showcase for Disney and for Disney animation. Have some character meet and greets in there. It doesn't take a lot of money to execute something like that, but like right now it's doing nothing. And I feel like Epcot's sad. So, and we need another coaster. We need one more coaster. So those are that's my twofer, man. All right.
Scholastic Corporation owns the Magic School Bus franchise. So I feel like this could be the next move out of the way, Barbie. This could be the next franchise.
Let's do it.
Disney needs to make a run at it. I think the Fuji coaster, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they use base schematics for that roller coaster to build Mount Everest?
I think they did.
Yeah, at least there was some use out of it, but adding a second coaster, I'm with you. Epcot needs one more
thing. Thrill. It needs one more thrill ride. Like that's it. A lot of these parks could use two or three more rides to just soak up the crowds and take people and bury them in queues. But Epcot needs one more thrill ride. Just one more thrill ride. All right, dude, on the fourth day of Christmas, Disney needed what?
it also needs crash test dummy test track back. My fourth one, I am going to go a little bit of the old, a little bit of the new. I watched the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, or excuse me, the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special again. I forgot how much I loved that. But seeing all the Christmas lights light up nowhere within that holiday special, and I'm like, imagine what Galaxy's Edge would look like covered in Christmas lights, Life Day lights. I think if you take the old Osborne Spectacular of Christmas lights tradition for that part of the park, but you covered Galaxy's Edge in Life Day lights and make Star Wars part of the Christmas holiday, I think that would be incredible. I think the Millennium Falcon covered in Christmas lights would be super, super cool. I want Star Wars to get in on the holiday action.
Dude, why doesn't Chewbacca wear his cool Life Day robe during that season?
That'd be sweet.
Right.
Happy Life Day, by the way. We just celebrated pretty recently.
Happy Life Day. So did you clean up the stormtroopers off of your lawn?
Not yet.
To celebrate? Yeah, they're just out there. It gets so awkward. People coming by and seeing all the carcasses of the stormtroopers.
But I want my two favorite things of Star Wars and Christmas to coexist.
Right.
And I mean, nowhere from Guardians Holiday Special looks a lot like Galaxy's Edge. So that's how I came up with the idea.
You know what I love about you, man? We are absolutely on the same wavelength. Like we had the whole World of Color thing. Now I am also heading over to Galaxy's Edge for Christmas, and I am gifting to Galaxy's Edge with my fourth gift. I am going to add two Smuggler's Run alternate missions. Now, we love Corellia. I mean, it's really fun. Anyone who's gotten a crew of six assembled and they didn't have to ride with randos as the engineer, as kids just smash into the wall, you'll know, like, it's a really fun ride and it has a lot of potential. As a master pirate, I would like to tackle some other locations. They are already there. Fun fact, Brian,
three different ones are already there.
Now, did you do any of the others as a cast member, or did you only ever do Corellia?
No. So the cast member previews that got to do the other missions were only in California.
Darn.
And then Galaxy's Edge opened in California. They had just the one mission. And then by the time they did the cast previews for Florida, they were down just to Corellia.
Okay. So they exist.
They exist.
They're there. They're programmed. It's about time to take the Falcon on new missions. We got to mix it up.
What are they waiting on?
I don't know. I truly don't understand. They do this with Star Tours.
It's been 7 years, right? No, it hasn't been that long. It's been 4.5, 5 years.
5 years. It's been 5 years. I mean,
it's time to refresh that attraction to get people back at it.
Somebody out there that can hear my voice, start one of those petition things. What are those petition things called? The change.org. Start a change.org petition. I'll sign it.
I love how, we'll sign it. We're just not going to go through the effort to start it.
I'll sign it. No, I don't know how to start any of that stuff.
You started a whole podcast. I think you could probably figure it out.
So, I don't know how that happened. But again, my first podcast was not that sophisticated. I literally had the Logitech headset on. I could barely learn how to use Zoom at that point. I've gotten I got really good with this. But originally, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, the missions exist. Like, you don't even have to go through the trouble. Like, I don't understand. And you can mix in the four missions. Like, hey, what mission are we going to get? You don't know. Like, leave Corellia in the thing. That's fine.
Now, do you think at some point, though, because again, we don't have a ton on the horizon. I mean, they're going to be announcing projects, assuming, in August. But as far as like shovels already digging and the work already being done, we know that we have Tiana's Bayou Adventure arriving in 2024. Like, Hatbox Ghost was supposed to be, should be, someday, soon.
Holy crap, I just realized that hasn't happened yet.
But do you think that in the interim that this becomes like something that they've got the ace in the hole? Because if I was in leadership, I'm telling you, I would say, what are some things that we can do to affect excitement, inject some newness in? This is right there. It's already there. It does not take much. And it's just a matter of maybe testing it out, making sure that the creatives are happy with it again, and just rolling it out in the summer. You know, maybe for like May the 4th, you say, hey, new mission, here we go. I mean, this is a no-brainer to me. So I'm giving Smuggler's Run two new missions that we already have. Yeah.
May the 4th is when you do it. But do you really think it's like an ace in the hole? I think it's more like a seven of spades in the hole. Like, I don't think that many people would get super jazzed up about it.
Star Wars people would. You and I would.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Here's on the level of how excited I would be. I would fly to do it when it was new. I would have FOMO, and I would. Dude, I flew to open Galaxy's Edge, which didn't even have Rise of the Resistance. So I would do this. I would certainly do this.
Yeah.
So, and while we're at it, okay, bonus gift, since we're in the spirit of giving, since we're giving something to Galaxy's Edge, and you know, you gave it some Christmas lights and I gave it new missions. Dude, I would, I'm going to stay there really quick. I want to just give it a bonus thing. I want to add a sit down dining service location. Okay. Toy Story Land just got the Roundup Rodeo. So the menu on the Halcyon was really cool, really creative, super delicious. So is there a way that you can get people, I mean, into the Halcyon's dining room? Like, can we do that? Can we turn that? I know they're like, no, we're not turning it into another hotel, but you've got the kitchen. You've got a cool way to get maybe people to and from the location, like use the box truck. I don't know, man. Like, I would love to see them create that table service dining location and get people back on the Halcyon, you know, and maybe they're not violating whatever the terms and agreements were for them to like write it off if they're not using it as a hotel. If they're using it as a restaurant, maybe they can get away with a little bit more. I don't know. So that would be my bonus one. That's, remember when you said some of the stuff's not plausible? I don't think that's happening, but I could still want. But there you go. All right, man. On the fifth day of Disney, Brian gave to thee. What do you got?
I'm giving it, you know, that person in your life that you don't know what to get them because they always get themselves a gift anyway.
That's me. Mm-hmm. That is me, FYI.
My wife complains to me about it constantly.
Yep. That is me.
Thanks for my new TV for Christmas, hon. I am gifting something to Disney. They are already going to gift themselves. That is Beyond Big Thunder Mountain, a villain's land.
Right.
There's just nothing else because we want, I think Columbia and the Encanto Incorporation within Columbia at Epcot makes too much sense to not do it. Magic Kingdom, Encanto doesn't really fit Beyond Big Thunder for me. I think a villain's land is something that when you talk about fans going absolutely bananas, that's what's going to do it. And we've talked time and time again, they're not going to commit a fifth gate to villains.
Right.
But if you have a villains part, like even like the Nocturne Alley part of Diagon Alley, just kind of think about that and just expand it that much more. Like, but having that villains area with even just one or two attractions, but just character meet and greets, just a dark castle, like something like Beast Castle. It doesn't need to be anything crazy, but that's what I'm thinking. And I think it's something Disney's going to buy for themselves. So we might as well gift it to them before they can do it.
I absolutely love that, man. And that is me. Linda will say throughout the course of the year, it's like, why? She used to yell at me and be like, could you please stop buying yourself stuff from October through to December? And I'm like, why? She's like, because what am I going to get you for Christmas, dude?
Yeah, see, but then she assumes that, like, if she doesn't get you something, you're going to be super disappointed. And you're like, no, I get it. Like, I'm fine with what I have.
Correct. And I'm very happy. But, I mean, there was a point, I think I bought myself a PlayStation 3 in October at one point. And she's like, really, dude? Really?
2006.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a while ago. But yeah, that was kind of like it. She was like, dude, I can't with you anymore. So I get socks and underwear and that's it. And I'm cool with it. Like, I'm totally all right. Yeah.
The year's refresh of socks and underwear.
Right. So it's all good. All right. So the last gift that I'm giving to Disney, it's a gift for you, Brian. And it's a gift for me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's a gift for Disney. But let's face it. No one would love this gift more than you and I. And I'm heading over to Tomorrowland one more time. I know that we've just remodeled Space Mountain, but I'm not going to stop. Because I love Tomorrowland, and I think it needs one more thing. And that would be, I am gifting it a Wreck-It Ralph attraction. All right? So over in the former building that hosted Alien Encounter and Stitch's Great Escape, you have this really cool amphitheater and this cool theater in the round. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a digital projection of Vanellope and Ralph that greet you in the digital realm. And that's going to be the transporter that's going to take us into the internet. And they're going to take us through their Wi-Fi to the internet. And they're going to take us to a virtual world. Now, I don't need this thing to be fully immersive. So, like, I don't need it to be, you know, like you're putting on the entire, you know, get up. And if anyone who's ever done, like, the MetaQuest or any kind of VR experience, they'll be able to tell you that you do need some space, but I would want people seated in their seat, putting on those virtual headsets that kind of, you know, let's get a collaboration with either Meta or another tech company, get the virtual headsets, get into this virtual realm in the round, and have Vanellope and Wreck-It Ralph take us on a virtual tour of the internet and some hijinks. You know, realizing that, again, this is screen-based technology, so some people will get hella sick. But you know what? You and I won't. So, Merry Christmas, Brian. Wreck-It Ralph, Vanellope Von Schweetz. Tomorrowland. So
I don't want to rain on your parade.
Right.
However, did you ever do The Void when it was at Disney Springs?
So, I didn't do the Wreck-It Ralph experience, if that's what you're asking me. I did not do that.
Did you do the Star Wars one?
No, I did not. Okay.
I did the Star Wars one. I also did the Wreck-It Ralph one. Both really, really fun. I also did, I think it was the Kraken at SeaWorld. They did this virtual reality where you wore the headset for the roller coaster.
Right.
The problem with it is, and COVID killed it. But the problem with a virtual headset for every person to constantly wear is the efficiency for the attraction just plummets because they have to sanitize it after every single person.
Right. Yeah.
That's the challenge. So you would also need to give them lots and lots of Lysol.
Okay.
To go along with it.
Well, listen, it might not be your traditional ride that goes, you know, every, you know, 2-3 minutes. It yeah. might be something more akin to a Monsters, Inc. laugh floor, where it's a virtual show. Right. I mean, so it's not maybe a ride per se, and it might be like a show that goes off every half hour, and it's a 15-minute show, and then the staff has to sanitize it for 15 minutes and wipe down the headsets, and then boom, you go again. But something, again, something there. Something Wreck-It Ralph. I was just trying to come up with an idea. Man, I would...
guess this is why I'm considered a buzzkill. Sorry
about that. No. I would still love a Sugar Rush Racers overlay on the Tomorrowland Speedway, and you put some elements in the infield. You know, I mean, maybe it's not quite the aesthetic that they're looking for, you know, all the candy and whatnot, you know, in Tomorrowland. But, man, we could definitely get Wreck-It Ralph in the parks somewhere. Somewhere. That's all I'm saying, Disney. That's all I'm saying.
Since they've already used Mount Fuji at Japan, what about some sort of Big Hero 6 themed roller coaster over at Japan?
Bro, you had me.
That just popped into my mind.
You had me at Big Hero 6, man. You had me at Big Hero 6. So what would be your Rushmore of, let's do a quick Rushmore, not planned. So this would even be random, perhaps. what would be your top four Rushmore underrepresented intellectual property that Disney needs to get like now? Like now.
Okay.
Walt Disney World. Disney World.
Yeah, so assuming the Marvel thing can't be breached, because I would love to put more Marvel.
Well, that's why I said Disney World. Yeah, I wanted to be clear. Oh.
That, I mean, okay. Emperor's New Groove, number one.
I like it.
Number two. Man, this is hard. You came up with it. Do you already have some answers?
I don't have a full list. I would probably have to work on the fly. I would definitely need to work in Inside Out.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
In some form or fashion. You're also getting a sequel with Inside Out, so there might be a good chance that maybe we just get some additional characters. But Inside Out needs to be there. Big Hero 6. We used to at least have a Baymax meet and greet, but like there is legitimately zero Big Hero 6 at this point. And if you can't get Marvel, that's a fantastic way of getting the superhero element in. I agree. It's criminal that we don't have an Emperor's New Groove roller coaster at this point, where you pull the lever and it's the wrong lever. That someone has not actualized that. I just don't understand. And dude, we've said this already like a bajillion times. How is there not more Tangled in the Magic Kingdom? How is there not more Tangled anywhere? People love Rapunzel and Flynn, and they're barely in the parks. So I guess that's my top four. What else you got?
Well, let's go with like the Fox side of things.
Okay.
Can we bring back Extraterrestrial Alien Encounter and incorporate Alien or Predator or both?
Yes. Yes and yes. Why not?
I mean, that'd be friggin' sweet.
And this,
I would,
yeah. And this time, don't screw it up. Don't put it at the Magic Kingdom. Put it at Hollywood Studios.
Yep.
Put it at the right park this time around.
Yeah. This is something I was not anticipating. And I am going to give my final gift and my final wish list. I'm going to give Bob Iger the IP to the Magic School Bus.
So is Bluey's Disney, right?
No, it's Ludo Studios. Okay. Yeah, so there you go. Like, let's Disney buy Ludo. But I feel like I don't want anything with Bluey to change whatsoever. So, but let's incorporate Bluey into the parks. I guess they tried to do some scavenger hunt that came to an abrupt end fairly recently in the parks, which means it was probably unsanctioned.
Was it?
I don't know. Man, like, someone was doing some scavenger hunt, and then it came to a very quick abrupt end. I don't know a ton about it.
I don't know. Well, this was certainly fun. Thank you, everybody. We would love to hear your opinions. What gift would you give to Disney this holiday season? Hit us up at DisLife Podcast on Instagram. Send us a message, and we would love to share your ideas for this Christmas season. But, dude, this is always so fun. I'm so glad that football season is now at an end and you can just go to a normal crazy workload instead of it being like a crazy, insane, overwhelming workload. If you have a podcast topic that you want, in addition to that, send it to us at Dislike Podcast. And we would love to take your inspiration and talk about one of our fan favorites. But have a wonderful weekend. We hope that you made it through your food coma from Thanksgiving. And we will see you guys real soon. Have a wonderful week. And we hope the rest of this week is filled with faith, trust, and pixie dust. We'll see you real soon. Bye, Brian.
Thanks, Mark.
Is Disney World home to you? Realtor Victor Naraki can help make it a reality. Realtor Victor Naraki specializes in making your Disney home dreams come true. Second homes, investment homes, retirement, relocation. With Victor's input, he will show you the home opportunities that you don't get to see as a tourist. Imagine being at the park in minutes, walking around the World Showcase for daily exercise, watching the fireworks in your own backyard, or having Disney Springs as your local mall. Have you ever heard of Windermere, Winter Garden, Horizon West, Dr. Phillips, Claremont, Lake Nona, or Disney's own Celebration and Golden Oak? Victor will introduce you to these communities, which are just minutes to the magic. Stop imagining a Disney life and start living your dream today. Call Victor at 407-340-9375. And don't forget to mention that you heard all about Victor here on the Chip and Company Podcast Network. Head over to celebratingflorida.com and start living your magical life today. Diz Life Podcast is brought to you by the Happiness is Addictive Collection. Happiness is Addictive is passionate about spreading laughter and creating smiles worldwide. They love bringing their global community together through optimism, cheer, hopefulness, merriment, and celebrating life's magical moments. They know how important it is to celebrate life's adventures, and their apparel will give you everlasting, one-of-a-kind memories through pixie-dusted family photos, compliments from park guests, and magical moments with cast members. They pride themselves on high-quality, custom-made apparel at competitive prices with world-class service. Let them help you create a lifetime of memories, whether you're Disney bounding, kicking it poolside, participating in Run Disney marathons, having costumed adventures, or just living your best Disney life. You can find their Happiness is Addictive shop on Etsy. You can also find them on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Pinterest. They are proud to be featured in Indy Central Florida, the Thoughtful Gift Club, and now here on Diz Life Podcast. Their collection was founded by a 15-year former cast member who knows how to enhance your magical moments for a lifetime of memories with your family. Don't forget to use promo code DISLIFE15 to take an extra 15% off. What are you waiting for? Head over to Etsy and start getting happy today. Follow the link in our show notes and you'll find out for yourself that happiness is addictive.